Sketches by Boz, by Charles Dickens. Dramatised for radio by Stephen Wyatt. Today's story, Horatio Sparkins.
Mr. Malderton was a man whose whole scope of ideas was limited to Lloyd's, the Exchange, the India House, and the bank. A few successful speculations had raised him from a situation of obscurity and comparative poverty to a state of affluence. On this particular evening, Mr. Malderton sat with a silk handkerchief over his head and his feet on the fender, drinking his port. Around him, his doting family, his wife Georgina, his daughter Teresa, and his son Thomas. It may have been the port, or the fire, or even the handkerchief, but he did not immediately take in the import of what his good lady wife was telling him.
Indeed, my love. He paid Teresa very great attention on the last assembly night. Very great attention. And I say again, my love, are you listening?
Of course, my love.
Then really you have to agree that every possible encouragement should be given. He positively must be asked down here to Oak Lodge to dine.
Of course, my love. Who must?
My dear, you must know whom I've been talking about. The young man with the black whiskers and the white cravat, whom all the girls were talking about.
Ah, that young man.
Indeed. Oh, dear me, what's his name? Teresa? What is his name? Oh. Teresa?
Mr. Horatio Sparkins, Ma.
Ah, yes. To be sure. Horatio Sparkins. Decidedly the most gentlemanlike man I ever saw. I'm sure in the beautifully made coat he wore the other night, he looked like...
A very smart waiter.
Don't be beastly, Tom. You're just jealous.
Oh, no, I ain't.
Then don't make low remarks.
I ain't making low remarks.
Children! Quiet, please. Remember, we are the Maldertons of Oak Lodge, Camberwell. We have social duties. We have a social position. It ain't done to squabble. It's not gentlemanly, Tom, nor is it ladylike, Teresa.
No, Pa.
Of course, Pa.
Now, where were we?
With Mr. Sparkins. I'm quite sure you'd like him. He's so very gentlemanly.
And so very charming.
No doubt I should. On first appearance, he seemed just the sort of person I would wish us to cultivate in our new existence. There seemed nothing low about him.
Nothing at all. Mr. Sparkins has expressed the greatest respect for you, my love.
Has he now?
There's no doubt he'd like to be attached to your society, Pa.
Oh, no doubt at all. Indeed, he said as much to me in confidence.
Well. So you think that if I see him at the assembly tomorrow, I should ask him down here?
I think you should.
I trust he knows we live here, at Oak Lodge. Camberwell, my dear?
Oh, of course.
He also knows you keep a one-horse carriage.
Then he knows we are...
Anything but low.
Excellent.
Of course, we all know why he's being asked.
I don't think we do, Tom.
It's Teresa.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Teresa's 28.
I don't know why you are commenting upon your sister's age in this way, Thomas. I hope there's not some vulgar implication.
Well, she's not getting any younger, is she?
Oh.
It is physically impossible for anyone to get younger, Thomas.
Yes, but it's still a problem, ain't it?
In what way, Thomas?
If you want to get married.
Oh, you... Tom, you horrible spiteful brute!
Ow!
Don't say such things, you liar!
Ow! Children!
Ow! I'm never going to look twice at you, you nasty
girl! Ow! Teresa! That is enough!
You never dare to...
Teresa! Ow! Enough!
Yes, Papa.
She's beaten me black and blue!
Then let that be a lesson to you not to say anything low.
Yes, Pa.
Now apologise to your sister.
Sorry, Teresa.
The very idea. Dear, that your sister is looking for a husband.
But of course, she was. The misfortune of the lack of a proposal arose from no lack of perseverance on Miss Teresa's part. In vain had she flirted for 10 years. In vain had Mr. and Mrs. Malderton kept up an acquaintance among the young eligible bachelors of Camberwell, and even of Wandsworth and Brixton. The night succeeding this animated family discussion was assembly night. The double fly was ordered to be at the door of Oak Lodge at 9 o'clock precisely.
Teresa! Tell your ma the fly is here!
Miss Teresa Malderton was a very little girl, rather fat, and was dressed for the occasion in sky blue satin, trimmed with artificial flowers. Her mother, who was a little fat woman in ditto ditto, looked like her daughter, multiplied by two.
Enchanting, my dears. Enchanting.
Thomas!
Coming, Park!
Every member of the family had made up his or her mind to cultivate the acquaintance of Mr. Horatio Sparkins. Even Mr. Thomas was sufficiently chastened to vow to engage Mr. Sparkins on the interesting topics of snuff and cigars. The first object that met the anxious eyes of the expectant family on their entrance into the ballroom was the interesting Horatio, with his hair brushed off his forehead and his eyes fixed on the ceiling, reclining in a contemplative attitude on one of the seats.
There he is, my dear.
Indeed.
How like Lord Byron.
Shh. He's seen us.
Oh. He's coming over.
My dear Mrs. Malderton, how delightful to see you. And you, Miss Teresa? Mr. Malderton, I am proud to shake your hand.
How do you do, sir?
And yours, Mr. Thomas? Extraordinarily good of you all to grace the assembly with your presence.
Oh, no.
We might say the same of you, Mr. Sparkins.
But then you would be flattering me. Miss Malderton.
Yes, Mr. Sparkins.
May I be permitted to presume, to hope, that you will allow me to have the pleasure of partnering you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think I'm engaged. But, well, really, I suppose there are so many that I'm not sure.
Her voice trailed away with this dreadful affectation of indifference. Mr. Sparkins looked as handsomely miserable as a Hamlet sliding upon a bit of orange peel.
But, of course, under the circumstances, I shall be most happy.
Then, my dear Miss Malderton, let us take the floor.
Oh.
A very genteel young man, certainly.
Oh, he has a remarkably good address.
Yes, he's a prime fella. He talks just like an auctioneer.
Tom, I think I've desired you before not to be a fool.
And Mr. Thomas looked as happy as a cock on a drizzly morning. How very different were the feelings of his sister when, after the conclusion of the set, she promenaded the room on the arm of Mr. Sparkins.
How delightful, how refreshing it is to retire from the cloudy storms, the vicissitudes and the troubles of life, even if it be but for a few short, fleeting minutes. Don't you think, Miss Malderton?
Oh, yes, indeed.
And how still more delightful, how still more refreshing to spend those moments, fading and evanescent though they be, in the blessed society of one individual.
Indeed, I often...
Of her whose frowns would be death, whose coldness would be madness, and whose falsehood would be ruin.
I'm sure nobody would ever want...
And yet, someone in the possession of whose affection would be the brightest and best reward that heaven could bestow on man. Would you care for some refreshment?
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much.
I very much fear, Miss Malderton, that I have said too much.
No, no.
After all, what have I to do with sentiments like these? Miserable wretch that I am.
Pray don't take on so, Mr. Sparkins, please.
Then, may I perhaps...
Yes?
May I hope to be permitted to offer the humble tribute of...
Oh,
Really, Mr. Sparkins, this is so sudden.
Then I have perchance offended you.
No, but I must refer you to Papa. I never can, without his consent, venture to it.
But surely he cannot object.
He's so very, very proper.
But surely he cannot object quite so strongly to my offering you a glass of alcoholic beverage.
Oh, no, not at all. Of course not, Mr. Sparkins. Indeed, look, here comes Papa.
He doesn't look the least displeased.
He won't be.
Well, my dear, I trust you have had an enjoyable dance with Mr. Sparkins.
Indeed, Papa.
Your daughter dances like an angel.
Now, really, Mr. Sparkins, you flatter me.
Mr. Sparkins.
Honoured, sir.
It will give me the greatest pleasure to see you to dinner at Oak Lodge, Camberwell, on Sunday next at 5 o'clock, if you have no better engagement.
Yes.
I would be delighted. Nay, honoured. Nay, enchanted.
Oh.
I must say that I don't enjoy these assemblies half so much as the comfort. I had almost said the luxury of Oak Lodge. They have no great charms for an elderly man.
Indeed. And after all, sir, what is man?
I beg your pardon.
I say, what is man?
True. Yeah, it's very true.
We know that we live and breathe, that we have wants and wishes, desires and appetites.
Certainly.
I say, we know that we exist. But there we stop. There is an end to our knowledge. There is the summit of our attainments. There is the termination of our ends. What more do we know?
Nothing.
Exactly. Nothing.
That night, Miss Teresa went to bed and dreamt all night of disguised noblemen, large parties, ostrich plumes, bridal favours, and Horatio Sparkins. Meanwhile, Mr. and Mrs. Malderton had a long conversation respecting their daughter's prospects and the arrangements for the next weekend.
Upon my word, my dear, I wish you'd reminded me before that brother of yours had invited himself down on Sunday.
Jacob's a law unto himself.
Oh, excuse me. I had purposely refrained from asking anybody except Flamwell in case of Mr. Sparkins' acceptance, and now we've got your brother... A tradesman? It's insufferable.
Well, he means no harm.
I declare I won't have him mention his shop before our new guests. No, not for £1,000.
Well, he can't help being a grocer. That's how he made his money.
But he doesn't have to go about telling people that, does he?
What's done is done.
Nonsense. He must be put off. I wouldn't care if he had the good sense to conceal the disgrace he is to the family. But we can't have him here at this delicate moment mentioning groceries. Just Sparkins and Flamwell. Flamwell will get to the bottom of the mystery. He knows his way around. He knows... Are you asleep? He knows who's who. Oh.
The grocer was unceremoniously uninvited, and Mr. Thomas packed off to relatives, lest he too might stray in his conversation towards things low. The preparations were made, and then the anxiously awaited Sunday finally came, and with it came Mr. Flamwell.
Ah, Flamwell, my dear fellow, how do you do?
I am in excellent health, my dear Malderton, and all the better for seeing you and your delightful family. Mrs. Malderton, yes. Miss Teresa.
Mr. Flamwell was one of those gentlemen of remarkably extensive information whom one occasionally meets in society, who pretend to know everybody, but in reality know nobody. At Oak Lodge, Camberwell, where any stories about great people were received with a greedy ear, he was an especial favourite.
Did I explain we have another guest joining us today?
Well, you had indicated something of the sort. It is
Mr. Horatio Sparkins.
Ah!
You know him?
Well, not by that name, but I have no doubt I shall know him. Is he tall?
Middle-sized.
Mm-hmm, with black hair?
Oh, yes, definitely black.
Rather a snub nose?
No, he has a Roman nose.
Right, you know, I thought I said a Roman nose, didn't I?
Oh, I thought
but
you said...
But he's an elegant young man.
Oh, certainly.
With remarkably prepossessing manners.
No doubt of it.
And a distinguished air.
That's right. You must know him.
Well...
You must know him if anybody does.
Well...
Who do you think he is?
Well, from your description, he bears a strong resemblance to the Honourable Augustus Fitz Edward Fitz John Fitz Osborne.
No.
He's a very talented young man and rather eccentric. It's extremely probable he's changed his name for some temporary purpose.
Teresa's heart beat high. Could he be the Honourable Augustus Fitz Edward Fitz John Fitz Osborne? What a name to be elegantly engraved upon two glazed cards tied together with a piece of white satin ribbon. The Honourable Mrs. Augustus Fitz-Edward Fitz-John Fitz-Osborne. The thought was transport.
It's 5 minutes to 5. Mm-hmm. I hope he's not going to disappoint us.
Look! Here he comes. Oh, do look, Mama. He's on ever such a black horse.
Oh, so distinguished.
I do believe he's waving. I do believe he's losing control over the horse.
Still, my charger!
Calm down. There's a good fellow.
Eventually, after a great deal of reining in and pulling up, the animal consented to stop at about 100 yards from the gate, where Mr. Sparkins dismounted and confided him to the care of the groom.
Mr. Sparkins, I don't believe you've met my good friend, Mr. Augustus Flamwell.
Charmed.
Delighted to meet you, Mr. Sparkins.
The ceremony of introduction was gone through in all due form. Mr. Flamwell looked from behind his spectacles at Horatio with an air of mysterious importance, and the gallant Horatio looked unutterable things at Teresa, who tried in her turn to appear uncommonly lackadaisical.
Would you? Oh, okay. For another glass of this.
The dinner was excellent. Horatio was most attentive to Miss Teresa, and everyone felt in high spirits. Mr. Malderton decided it was time to push matters forward.
Have you seen your friend Sir Thomas Noland lately, Flamwell?
Why, no, not very lately, but I did see Lord Gubbleton the day before yesterday.
Ah, yes, Lord Gubbleton. I hope his lordship is keeping well.
It is scarcely necessary to say that until that moment Mr. Malderton had been quite innocent of the existence of such a person.
Well, yes, Lord Gubbleton was very well indeed. He is a devilish good fellow. I met him in the city and had a long chat with him.
Indeed?
Oh, yes. I'm rather intimate with him. Of course, I couldn't stop to talk to him as long as I could wish, because I was on the way to a banker's.
Really?
Oh, yes, a very rich man and a member of Parliament, with whom I'm also rather, indeed, may I say, very intimate. Oh.
Yes, of course, I know who you mean. He has a capital business.
You know, talking of business, I remember something my brother was saying about his business.
My dear.
Yes?
I don't think perhaps we need to hear about your brother and his business just now.
Yes, of course. But I was only thinking...
Mr. Sparkins, a glass of wine.
With the utmost pleasure, sir.
We're delighted to see you.
I'm delighted to be here.
You know, Flamwell, we were talking the other evening, Mr. Yes. Sparkins and I, about the nature of man.
Really?
Indeed, and I was most struck by the force of what Mr. Sparkins had to say.
Indeed.
Oh, yes.
We all were.
You are too kind.
Now, pray tell us, Mr. Sparkins, after your thoughts on man... What is your opinion of woman?
Oh, fine, Mama!
Man, whether he ranges the bright, gay, flowery plains of a second Eden, or the more sterile, barren, and, I may say, commonplace regions to which we are compelled to accustom ourselves in times as these.
How true.
How very true.
Man, I say, under any circumstances or in any place, whether he were bending beneath the withering blasts of the frigid zone or scorching under the rays of a vertical sun, man without woman...
Yes?
...would still be... alone.
Oh. Ah.
I'm very happy to find you entertain such honourable opinions, Mr. Sparkins.
And I...
After all, some might disagree. Some might question the basis on which I build my observation. To them I say, what? Is effect the consequence of cause? Is cause the precursor of effect?
That's the point.
The nub of it.
Because... if effect is the consequence of cause, and if cause does precede effect, then those who criticise are undoubtedly wrong.
Decidedly.
At least I apprehend that to be the just and logical deduction.
No doubt of it.
How wonderfully clever he is.
He is a god among men. He talks like an oracle. Yes.
He must have seen a great deal of life.
Mr. Flamwell, meanwhile, had resolved, for the sake of his reputation as a connoisseur of the eminent, to find out who and what Mr. Horatio Sparkins really was, or die in the attempt.
excuse me, my dear Sparkins. In view of your eloquence, would I be right in presuming you have studied for the bar?
No.
I thought of entering once myself. Indeed, I am rather intimate with some of the highest ornaments of that distinguished profession, so I can't help thinking that you are...
Well, not exactly.
But you have been among the silk gowns, or I mistake.
Mm-hmm. Nearly all my life.
Ah! So, do you by any chance happen to know Mr. Delafontaine? Mr. Justice Delafontaine, I should say, of Bedford Square?
I have... exchanged cards with him.
Ah.
Since which, indeed, I have had an opportunity of serving him considerably.
Oh, you are very lucky if you have had an opportunity of obliging that great man.
Indeed.
The remainder of the evening passed away most delightfully. Miss Teresa played as well as her very limited pianoforte technique allowed, and Mr. Horatio listened with an intense concentration that would have been fitting for a virtuoso performance by the great Mozart.
Flamwell?
Yes?
What's the verdict?
I don't know who he is.
Pardon?
I don't know who he is.
Oh.
But it's quite clear, however, that he belongs to the law and that he is somebody of great importance... and very highly connected.
And very appreciative of my daughter's musical abilities.
Mm.
Oh, bravo.
Bravo.
Teresa,
bravo.
Bravo.
Teresa, bravo. Very good.
Thank you so much for coming, Mr. Sparkins.
Delightful to see.
It was past 12 before Mr. Sparkins ordered his black steed, an order which was only complied with upon the distinct understanding that he was to repeat his visit the following Sunday.
I should, of course, be enchanted.
Oh, but, my dear, a further thought occurs to me. Perhaps Mr. Sparkins could form one of our party tomorrow evening.
An excellent notion, my dear. I am intending to take my wife and daughter to see the pantomime, if you could join us.
I should be delighted.
Oh.
The Olympic Theatre, box 48, if you could find your way there during the course of the evening.
I shall do my utmost.
Oh, we shall not, on the other hand, tax you for the morning, will we, Ma? For we are going to all sorts of places shopping, and I know that gentlemen often have a great horror of that activity.
I do not share that horror, Miss Malderton, especially if I shopped in your company. But alas, business of importance occupies me in the morning.
Till the evening, then.
Till the evening. Farewell.
Farewell.
And soon after that, Mr. Sparkins disappeared upon his dusky charger. Miss Teresa dreamed that night of the dinners that she might attend as the wife of the Lord Chief Justice. At 12 o'clock on the following morning, the double fly was at the door of Oak Lodge to convey Mrs. Malderton and her daughter on their shopping expedition. Mrs. Malderton carried over from her previous existence a somewhat low interest in a bargain, a taste Miss Teresa thoroughly deprecated. It was with some dismay, therefore, when her ma insisted their first port of call should be at Messrs. Jones, Spruggins and Smith's of Tottenham Court Road.
Oh, Lord, ma, what a place you have brought us to.
Good morning, ladies. Pray be seated.
Oh.
Now, what is the first article?
I want to see some silks.
Silks. Very good, ma'am. Directly. Young Mr. Smith is in charge of silks. Mr. Smith? Where is Mr. Smith?
I'm coming, Mr. Jones.
Well, pray make haste, Mr. Smith. The ladies are waiting. You never are to be found when you're wanted, sir.
Yeah, here, Mr. Jones. Now, ladies, how can I...
Horatio? Horatio Sparkins?
Miss Malderton? Mrs. Malderton?
But what are you doing here?
I work here. I am the Smith of Jones, Spruggins and Smith.
No! Teresa! Teresa, speak to me! Oh, Teresa.
We will draw a veil, as novel writers say, over the scene that ensued.
Teresa! Speak to me!
The mysterious, philosophical, romantic, metaphysical Sparkins had suddenly been converted into Mr. Samuel Smith, junior partner in a slippery firm of short duration.
Do you still want to see the silks, ladies?
No, we do not. Come, Teresa.
All the hopes of the Maldertons were destined at once to melt away like the lemon ices at a city dinner. Years have now elapsed since the occurrence of that dreadful morning. The daisies have thrice bloomed on Camberwell Green. The sparrows have thrice repeated their vernal chirps in Camberwell Grove. But Miss Teresa is still unwed.
Teresa, come along. The fly is waiting. Well, who knows who may be there? Perhaps Sir George will ask you to dance, Teresa.
Coming, Mama.
But hope springs forever eternal. Flamwell is yet in the zenith of his reputation, and the Maldertons have the same predilection for aristocratic personages, together with an increased aversion to
anything low.
In Horatio Sparkins, Mr. Malderton was played by David Haig, Mrs. Malderton by Tessa Worsley, and Teresa Malderton by Sarah Jane Holm. Horatio Sparkins was Julian Ryan Tutt, Mr. Flamwell, Patrick Barlow, and Mr. Thomas Malderton, Adrian Schiller. The voice of Boz was Nicholas Farrell. Sketches by Boz is dramatised by Stephen Wyatt and directed by Sally Avens.